A compulsory increase in employer superannuation payments could be the next victim of the COVID-19 economic crisis. The Prime Minister has now suggested the government could dump its election promise to lift the super guarantee levy to 10% from next year, setting up a clash with Labor and the $3 trillion superannuation industry. The sector argues the increase is needed more now than ever, given the number of young people who've cleaned out their super accounts during the corona lockdowns. Jane Hume is the Assistant Minister for Superannuation and Financial Services. She joins us from quarantine, pre-parliamentary quarantine in Melbourne. Jane Hume, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
The super guarantee levy is legislated to rise from 9.5% to 10% from July next year. Will that happen?
Well, that's right, and the Prime Minister has reiterated just again last week that that legislative rise is already there in legislation. But Dr. Philip Lowe from the Reserve Bank pointed out that a rise in the superannuation guarantee inevitably comes with a trade-off, that there is a relationship between the superannuation guarantee and wages growth.
So you're right, the Prime Minister has guaranteed that many times, this is legislated, that rise will happen, but he did point out late last week that, quote, a significant event, the corona pandemic, has occurred since the rise was legislated, and of course a dozen or so of your colleagues are speaking out publicly against this increase. Some of them have been doing that for a long time, some of them in the wake of this pandemic. There does seem like the government is moving away from this election promise not to interfere with the scheduled lift in the levy. What's your position? Can employers afford the higher super contribution at this moment?
Well, this isn't a new conversation. We know that not just Philip Lowe from the Reserve Bank, but also ACOS and Grattan, mm-hmm. and even Industry Super Australia have said that there is a trade-off between wages and the superannuation guarantee. And it would be irresponsible for a government not to consider that, particularly in light of a pandemic and the economic impacts of COVID-19.
So what's your view? You're the Assistant Minister. What's your view?
Well, the legislation is already there and it's already set to rise. I'm reasonably ambivalent on the issue, to tell you the truth. I think that this is a decision that really should be based on the circumstances at the time.
But we know the circumstances of now, so what is your view?
Well, as I said, it's legislated, so my understanding is that it's going ahead. If that's the case, it's the government's responsibility to make sure that we can persuade the public that that trade-off is the right one to make, that the decision is the right one to make for them. And there will be many people, many quarters from business as well as the employees, that will be concerned that that superannuation guarantee rise comes at a trade-off to their wages and their wage increases.
Okay, talking of trade-offs, the Reserve Bank Governor Phil Lowe was aware of that too, as he put it on Friday, quote, do we want people to have income now or do we want them to have it later on? That's the real trade-off, isn't it? People would have less money in retirement, meaning an even bigger strain on the pension, which will already be under pressure given the collapse in immigration.
Well, the entire premise of the superannuation system is that you make that trade-off now and put money away to build a nest egg to create a retirement income in the future. But in fact, government expenditure on the age pension as a proportion of GDP is in fact expected to fall over the next 40 years from 2.5% today to 2.3% as the superannuation system matures. You have to remember that the superannuation system, compulsory super, has only been around since 1992, and even then it started at much lower levels, whereas people that are starting in the workforce today that are starting to pay 9.5%, mm-hmm. in 40 years' time, they will retire with a mature superannuation system. And the indicators show that, and I think the research by Grattan demonstrates that the vast majority of people will actually retire on incomes that are around 70% of their earnings during their working life.
So it sounds like you're not convinced that we need to go higher.
Well, I think that there is a lot of analysis that needs to be done, that has been done. And in fact, the retirement income review goes into this in great depth. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be a political decision that needs to be made, whether that trade-off is worthwhile.
In terms of the wages growth,
it's already been made.
Let's talk about the wages growth trade-off. Wages growth is already at historic lows, even though the coalition has kept the super levy frozen at 9.5% since 2014, so for 6 years now. Unemployment's forecast to hit 10% by Christmas. That will keep downward pressure on wages. Where are all these pay hikes that workers would lose out on if the superannuation guarantee is lifted? They haven't materialised yet.
No, that's right. But we are hoping that as we come out of the COVID-19 crisis, that our plan for an economic recovery will encourage more people into the workforce, more businesses to hire people, skills and training to improve, productivity to improve, and wage rises to come with it.
Yeah, but we've been hoping that since 2014. I mean, are you saying employers will all be giving their workers pay rises if you save them paying the higher super guarantee?
We know that the relationship between the superannuation guarantee and wages is there. It potentially isn't a linear relationship, but it certainly
Well, it hasn't
there.
Been linear Grattan in the last 5 years or so, has it?
Grattan has said that the RBA has said that, ACOS has said it, and even Industry Super has said it. So this is not a new statistic.
The government allowed people to access super funds during the pandemic. By the end of the year, I think about $42 billion will have been withdrawn. This is Treasury figures. Doesn't that feed into the debate around the guaranteed levy that a lot of people, a lot of younger workers now in particular, have emptied out their accounts under the government's pandemic policy, and they're going to have a lot of ground to make up? They will need that super guarantee levy increase, won't they?
So about 2.7 million Australians so far, or million people, I should say, so far, have accessed a total of $33 billion of their own superannuation to assist them during this very, very difficult time. And that ability to access a limited amount of their superannuation has given millions of Australians peace of mind that, for many has been a real lifeline. To put it into context, understand that $33 billion that's been withdrawn from super is almost exactly the same amount that the super industry charged Australians in fees just last year alone. And it equates to only around 1% of the $3 trillion system and about a quarter of what Australians contributed to superannuation last year.
Sure, but that wasn't what I asked. What I was saying was those people who have emptied their accounts, and I'm not saying they didn't need the money, but they've emptied their accounts, that's the sort of a policy increase of the superannuation guarantee would be required to help them get their income levels back up, their retirement income levels back up, wouldn't it?
Well, I haven't actually heard any verified data as to how many people have emptied their accounts. We do know that, I think the last...
Well, the industry is saying 600,000.
600,000, yes. So the last I heard that was that the ATO confirmed that around 320,000 of those were actually temporary visa holders who accessed their superannuation. And, of course, when they return home, they empty their accounts anyway.
Okay, so at least 280,000.
On top of that, there are still two super funds out there for every one working Australian, and duplicate accounts are highly costly and highly inefficient with two sets of fees, two sets of insurances. So many people we've heard of that have used this system as an opportunity to close a dormant superannuation account. That's a good thing.
Now, have you asked for the actual numbers? Are you looking for this figure?
That is something that we are looking for, yes. At the moment, the other thing that you mentioned was young people. And, of course, young people have been the hardest hit with job losses, particularly in hospitality and retail. And they do, by their very nature, have small balances. But they also have more time to make contributions over the next 40 years. The most important thing to understand is that the best indicator of a good retirement outcome is not whether you access your superannuation early, but whether you have a job throughout your working life. And that's what the Morrison government is focusing on.
There's some fresh analysis by Alpha Beta, which has found that nearly 40% of people who have withdrawn their super have not experienced any decline in their income during the pandemic. Nearly two-thirds of the money was then spent on non-essentials, according to this research. What happened to the rule? I thought it was a rule anyway. The only people allowed to dip into their super must be experiencing financial hardship. Has this emergency measure been rorted?
Well, I question how Alpha Beta's access to Ilion's data through a budgeting app, only 10,000 people on a budgeting app, gives
them
better
insight. Well, what's the ATO telling you? Has this emergency measure been rorted?
The ATO are the ones who can assess who needs the money, and it's certainly not what the ATO are telling us. Early access to super scheme is run by the ATO on a self-assessment basis. Now, that's not unusual. Tax returns are self-assessment. You know that you don't have to submit.
Are you happy with this, Minister?
You don't have to submit receipts on your tax return, but you do have to keep them in case the ATO wants to verify them at a later date. So the same goes for criteria for early release. Now, the ATO found when they did a sweep of comparing all its data sources, that 90% of the applicants that had applied for early release of super were immediately eligible. Of the remaining 10% for whom eligibility was unclear, on contacting a sample of those individuals, the ATO found that 9 out of 10 of that last just 10% were in fact eligible, and that only 1 in 10 misunderstood the eligibility, but they weren't setting out to abuse or to take advantage of the initiative. In fact, this system has been under extraordinary scrutiny as part of the COVID Senate COVID Committee. They appeared, the ATO and Treasury appeared just last Friday for the first time, and overwhelmingly people have been honest.
All right. And the, you mentioned earlier the report into the retirement income. It's been with the government for 3 weeks now. When will we get it?
Well, it's a very big report. In fact, I have it sitting in front of me in quarantine right now. It's about 650 pages and it's an awful lot to digest. It's with the Treasurer right now and he will release it in due course.
Do you know when?
No, that's entirely up to the Treasurer. It's a lot of reading, and he's pretty busy at the moment. So 650 pages is a very dense report.
Just very briefly, employers have until September the 7th to start paying all the superannuation they've previously not paid their staff, dating all the way back to 1992. It's an amnesty. Why is the government allowing people to get away with such non-compliance with the law? I mean, let's call it for what it is, essentially theft.
Well, the ATO now, through Single Touch Payroll, has eyes into accounts and businesses to understand when super is due and who it's due to. But it didn't used to have that. This amnesty is a one-off chance for those people that may have underpaid superannuation to any of their employees since 1992, and most often that's inadvertent because superannuation is quite complicated to apply. So it gives them a chance to come forward, make good, plus 10%. To those employees and wipe the slate clean without any penalties. If they come forward after September the 7th and the ATO audits them and finds that they've underpaid super, the penalties are very severe. So we would encourage any businesses that may have underpaid any time in the last 30 years to come forward right now. If they can't pay at the moment because times are tough, the ATO can help them and put them on a payment plan.
All right. Jane Hume, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, friend.